Number 2, Utah Ice and Cold Storage Company. The Utah Ice and Cold Storage Building was constructed in 1902 and still bears its original name. During its prominent business period from 1925 to 1971, it housed ice and cold storage items coming off the trains, such as meats, frozen eggs, and groceries, before they were delivered to Salt Lake City residents. As you can see, the walls of the building still display original murals, which have been said to be perhaps the finest example of commercial art of this period in the entire city. Following the map, now proceed to site number 3, Intermountain Furniture Warehouse.
When I was growing up, we had all of the institutions that are established in almost every Jewish community. We had early religious school training, we had a Jewish bakery, and we had a kosher butcher shop. Mr. Kaplan was well known by all of the old Jewish inhabitants of the city. His West Side store sold kosher and non-kosher meat. In addition, he was also instrumental in the third synagogue that was established here. Sherry Chadjik, he helped find the Neir Shul. The cornerstone was laid in 1918, and the ceremony was officiated by the only Jewish governor we had in the state, Simon Bamberger. Now, I don't remember 1918, I was born in 1916, but I remember going to that synagogue. We lived just a few blocks away within an area of the city that most of the newer Jewish people have settled. It was the area between Main Street and First West, and between 10th and 3rd South. It was ghetto type of life, because we had very few wealthy Jews. Those that were German Jews who were either commercial merchants downtown in the retail stores or in the mining trade. Hotel Neuhaus, which was about to be raised, was built by Samuel Neuhaus, who was a very wealthy Jewish mining man. He also built the Boston Building. But most of us just lived on 8th or 9th South, right by the railroad tracks. We lived on that side because my father was, and I'd say it without fearing any derogatory implication, a junk peddler from Hungary. He was born in Miskolac and originally followed his father here. Now, do you know what a junk peddler does? He rents a horse and a wagon for $1 a day and goes house to house buying discarded items you might see in a garage or salvage sales, like old clothes, old bottles, anything. And that's why the Jewish people were in the discarded business, because nobody else wanted that. But the Jews made an industry out of this. For instance, scrap iron was melted into iron ore. Non-ferrous metals such as brass, copper, aluminum, and zinc were melted down and sold to the smelters to be reused, just as his aluminum cans are reused today. So my father picked up junk. He'd get it during the day and work deep into the night, sorting and cleaning, separating brass from iron, and so forth. When he got enough for a sale, he would sell it to one of the regularly established junk dealers, who were also Jewish. The Peppers were one, and the Rosenblatts were another. And they would sold to smelters, to reusers. Most of the peddlers went to one of them. Ed Eisen, 64, owner, American Barrel Company.